We know that a lot of people are on vacation. A lot of people are sick this morning. We got a text message this morning from some folks, and they would love to be there. They're probably listening on the internet there, and they said they're sick and they weren't able to make it. So, but we're grateful that you're here, and let's just unite our hearts in a word of prayer as we spend the morning together. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that this time of year is a time when many people in the world celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, and we are indeed grateful that He was born. But Father, what a truth to know that it wasn't His birth that saved anyone. Rather, it was His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection by which we have been provided eternal life. We thank you, Father, for the understanding that comes from studying your word, focusing on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his work on the cross. We pray that as we fellowship this morning around your word and just talking about the ministry, that we might be strengthened and encouraged for the days ahead. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, what I thought we would do this morning, again, it's a little bit maybe of more of an informal gathering than we normally have on Sunday morning, although we're kind of informal anyway, right? Because some folks had come a couple of months back to church. A couple of months ago, some folks came to church for the first time, and they were very surprised how we actually just welcomed questions even during the service. They thought that was kind of odd and everything. They weren't quite sure what to think about that. So, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about some of the things that the elders have been discussing ministry-wise going forward, some different ideas, to let you know that we hope that we've got a good direction that we as the elders and leadership of the church are going. For those of you who may not know who the elders are, of course, Mr. Tall Guy over there, Rich. Rich is one of the elders. Dan, where did Dan go? Dan's back over there. Dan is one of the elders and also the treasurer for the church. Henry and Joe, I don't know why they're not here this morning. They probably stuck in traffic or something. It's very unusual that they weren't here. I'm sorry? Isn't that something? Yeah. So I hope they're okay. What's that?
Maybe snow,
yeah. But Joe and Henry are both elders, myself, and then Joseph are elders. One of the things that we have been discussing is going forward, the Constitution, this church actually was originally formed back in the late 80s. And at that time, I think we had a total of maybe 8, maybe 10 people that were involved in the group. We submitted, to the best of our ability at that time, the Constitution and bylaws that you submit to the state of California to be able to get what they call the 501c3 confirmation. Now, by the way, you do not have to have a 501c3 confirmation from the state or the federal government in order to have a church. But we decided we did want to do it that way and so forth. And so in conjunction with that, you put together bylaws. One of the things that the elders are going to be doing this coming year is to actually redo the bylaws of the church. There have been a lot of changes over those years, things like that, a lot of legal issues just facing churches nowadays. And so that's going to be a major push that we as the elders are going to be doing for the church going forward. And in terms of, I'm just trying to pull something up here on the internet real quick. In terms of some of the decisions that were made recently, we have determined that we would like to emphasize growth in a few different areas. One was the area of missions. We've been giving to Grace School of the Bible for years, and it was brought up that we have an opportunity maybe to support some other missionary type of work and continue to support Grace School of the Bible. So I wanted to mention to you that there was a couple from originated in Chicago there, actually originated from Lithuania, went to Chicago, came across the Grace message and were part of Brother George's ministry there in Chicago, Shoreward Bible Church. And a few years ago, they were dispatched actually back to they decided they wanted to go back to Lithuania to reach their family, friends, relatives from that part of the world. And so, I don't remember how many years ago they've been back there now, but I brought up to the board and we discussed the idea of having this couple become part of the missionary group that we support as a ministry here. And I'm looking for the email so I can pronounce their name, okay? Let's see here. Here it is right there. And read this to you. Because what we decided as a ministry that we do and have made the decision that we are going to support the folks from Lithuania. And the husband's name is Darius. The wife's name is Angie. I cannot pronounce their last name, and I can't get it to load up. I'm trying to download their newsletter. But long and short of it is that we made a decision as the elders board to go ahead and start supporting them as missionaries. They translated from the King James Bible a Bible into the Lithuanian language. That's pretty amazing. And that tells you not only their conviction about the King James Bible and the whole controversy about the Bible issue, but also their desire to get the Word of God into the language of their folks and everything. So they produced that a number of years ago. They just this year went through a second printing of the Lithuanian Bible. And I believe they, if I understood correctly, they had to print it in China. And then, isn't that interesting? Maybe the Chinese didn't know what they were printing, okay? And then they shipped it back over. So they just recently got that. And in the most recent newsletter, they had mentioned that they also translated, you know, the book that Lori and I put together, The Bible, The Big Picture. It's back on the table there and everything. You've heard us talk about that several times. But they also translated that into the Lithuanian language. So they're very much interested in teaching the Bible, but teaching the Bible from... where's our chart? We forgot the chart this morning, but anyway, yeah, you know, you guys see it in your mind, right? The chart, right? You can all draw it out by paper. But they very much are interested in preaching, teaching the grace message in Lithuania. And what we'll do is, I had attempted to print out the newsletter. I wasn't able to do it, but we'll get the newsletter put on the back table back there. We'll even send it out to the email list, and that way you can kind of read about them. So we as a ministry are going to begin to support them there. They have two children. So far it's been a pretty neat outreach for them. They've got a small little group there that they're meeting with. So you pray for them. The folks there in Lithuania, we now are supporting them as part of the missionary outreach for the church here. And then we also decided that we wanted to start supporting another avenue of getting the Word of God rightly divided out to the world, really, but right now in the U.S., and that is through Brother Jordan's television broadcast called Forgotten Truths. So right now we as a ministry have those three avenues of missionary support: Grace School, the Bible, Forgotten Truths, and then these folks in the in Lithuania. There's Henry, trying to make it there, but the folks in Lithuania there. So you keep them in prayer. Again, I wish I could pronounce that. Just remember Darius and his wife in Lithuania. You pray for them. We'll get the newsletter out to you by email. Then we'll put some on the back table there. Okay? Yes, go ahead. I believe it is in the San Diego area. Does anybody see the Forgotten Truths broadcast in the San Diego area? It seems, is that, I think you mentioned, Billy, you see it?
Yeah, it's okay. On U-verse, so I don't know.
It's on U-verse. When do you see it? Is it Saturday or what day is it?
No, I think it's on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday night. I'll record it and then I'll watch it.
You record and then watch it later. Okay, good. And Tom, did you?
Yeah, it's on Sunday night.
What's that? Okay,
on
Sundays on U-verse, yeah. Okay. Yes, what we'll do is, of course, he'll be out here in February. We can double check with him then, and we can even email him ahead of time, but definitely to find out about that. So, but that was one of the things that we discussed have been talking about from the elders. Also, a second thing that any local ministry, the purpose of a local ministry is, in fact, if you grab your Bibles there real quick and open up to 1 Timothy. You all know this verse, but look over here to 1 Timothy and chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And if you look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2, start at verse 4, it says, "Who will have?" We should start at verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And you can see based upon verse 4, talking about God who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. The twofold purpose and will of God as far as what he's doing today in the dispensation of grace is identified in that verse right there. So that is, he wants lost to come to an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants the saved to be edified in his grace. So the simple way to put it, we want to reach the lost with the gospel of God's grace. We want to reach the saved with the gospel of God's grace. So the purpose of any local ministry really is to facilitate that verse right there. We as a ministry, the goal of this ministry, the overriding goal of this ministry is to reach the lost with a clear gospel and then reach the saved with, again, a clear gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, the word of God divided. And so what we want to try to do going forward, and I know we talk about this every year, and we should keep talking about it every year because it's something is supposed to be ongoing. But we talk about going forward, what we want to do or be more effective at is evangelism. Be more effective at getting the gospel out to any and all who will be willing to listen. And that encompasses a number of different ways. One is things as simple as just passing out gospel tracts. Recently, Lori and Mary Ann actually worked together to kind of put together a gospel tract. And there are a number of real simple gospel, good gospel tracts. There are a lot of gospel tracts that are not so good, okay, but the ones that are in grace circles are pretty good. So we would encourage everyone to be involved in that. It's probably a good idea just in everyone, just in your car, maybe have 10 tracts with you, because you never know when you get an opportunity just to hand the gospel tract out to someone at the gas station or side of the road, wherever. Just have them in your car and resupply them every once in a while. And the thing about evangelism, the thing about reaching the lost, the way to do it is you just have to commit to it. You just have to say, you know what, I'm just going to talk to someone about the Lord today. Or I'm going to talk to a few people this week about the Lord. That's the only way you can do it. It's just something you want to commit to. And if you look over to 1 Corinthians, look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 here. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And verse 22. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means, and notice he says, save some. Paul recognized that not everyone that he talked to was going to be interested in hearing more about the Lord. Not everyone you talk to is going to be interested in salvation. But that's not what determines whether or not we should talk to anyone. What determines whether or not we should talk to anyone?
You might believe
so. Yeah, because some might believe. Lo and behold, we all believe, right, at some point. What's that?
Or we might plant a seed.
Yeah, exactly. You're planting a seed. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. And so when it comes to the area and the issue of evangelism, just you have to purpose in your heart that I'm going to do it and then come up with a plan to do it. Nowadays, one of the most effective and common ways that people pass information on is through social media. It's amazing how much information is out there by social media. And I know David and Daniel both have had some quite exciting experiences and stories on social media about the gospel, about the Bible issue, about the grace message, things like that. So those of you who are good on social media, it's an avenue. You can say, maybe post today, hey, what did you do for Christmas? Hey, we went to church, had breakfast at church, and talked about the gospel. Maybe somebody will reply back, what's the gospel? That would be a good whatever. You just never know. But social media is a fantastic platform to reach people. And not just Facebook. It's rather interesting that they say actually that the younger generation is not even so much on Facebook. For them, their attention span is so short. With them, it's Instagram, right? They think about what you say for about 10 seconds and they're on to the next thing, okay? But they say Facebook, Instagram, things like that. And Snapchat? What's the other one? Twitter, okay, yeah. So, and Twitter's been around a long time, so that's kind of interesting. But again, they're just short little things like that. So they say nowadays you can be talking with someone virtually anywhere in the world through social media, whether it's any of those platforms. And the thing is, you just want a purpose to do it. I know Steve's been very effective at that, right? Social media, that type of thing. Dan has been very effective on emailing people all over the world. Dan, you talk to people from how many different countries? What would you say on email?
What?
South Africa is a huge one. Isn't that fascinating? You know, that's, you can't just buy a ticket there every weekend and go visit someone, right? But on social media, in fact, one of the gentleman he's talking to is actually trying to come over here in February for our conference, which is fascinating. So wouldn't that be cool? So evangelism is something that we as a ministry want to really, really focus on more this next year. And I know we say that each year, but it's because it is something that you do want to focus on every year. You never forget evangelism, all right? And then second to that is the issue of edification, continuing to promote the grace message, the Word of God, rightly divided to any and all who will listen. I want to put someone on the spot this morning. I hope she doesn't mind, but she is relatively new to the grace message, and it has just consumed her. And she started Bible study in her home on Saturday mornings. Henry's been just so faithful to be out there and teach it. And I tell you, every week this person sends out an email, just once again, just a few little short paragraphs about how it's changed her life. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? What do you think? You know, so what a blessing, Mary. And when she talks about how the message of coming to understand the grace message, how it's really changed her thinking, her seeing who she is in Christ, and she's complete in Christ. And what a wonderful living example of how the Word of God is able to impact us. Would it be fair to say that when you come to see the grace message for the very first time, when you come to actually see it, it's like getting saved all over again? I know it was for me, and I know it was for Lori. It just totally revolutionized your thinking. And so that whole idea of continuing to seek to reach, whether it's the lost with the gospel or the saved with understanding the grace message, we want to continue to focus on doing that. All of you here today have ideas. All of you here today. I've been approached just within the last couple of months about some ideas. Berta has a great idea about someone that she hears on the radio during the week. Garrett and Lori, about a month ago, said they heard something about that a radio broadcast in Southern California had openings. Kind of good. So it's exciting to know that you're looking for ideas. All of you have ideas. So act on those ideas, come and present the elders with the ideas and the things that we might be able to move forward with, and we will certainly attempt to do that. So that's the second area that we, as the elders have been talking about, just trying to reach, just to continue to reach out with evangelism and the Word of God divided. And then closely associated with that area is the next generation. I'm sure that you can all tell that none of us are getting younger. Right. Does everybody know that? Right. And if the Lord tarries, and by the way, it's okay if he doesn't. Right. Some of the younger folks have said, wait. Anyway. But if the Lord tarries, then you realize another, you know, if the Lord tarries another 100, 200, 500 years, whatever, then some of us will actually be in glory. Y'all can figure out which ones that are. Right. Okay. So what we want to do is we want to faithfully pass on this message to the next generation. That is vital. That is critical. That's such an important thing that we as ministry need to do. When you think about it, go with me over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It is so critical that we as a ministry do what we can to pass this message on to the next generation. Nowadays, when they talk about the next generation, there's like four categories, and I don't know them all. There's like Generation Y, Generation X, Generation Who Cares, and whatever, you know. All the different generations. And so when I say pass the message on, I am talking about all of them, right? Look at this passage here over in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then watch verse 2 very carefully. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." If you think about what that verse is saying, the reason that you and I here today believe what Paul is preaching is because someone read that verse and believed that verse all the way back to Paul. Paul took that information, he passed it on to many witnesses, one of which was Timothy. Timothy then took that information and he passed it on to others, who passed it on to others, who passed it on to others, who passed it on to others. You can actually trace through history, some of it's a little hard to do, but you can actually trace through history all the way back to the Apostle Paul, groups of people like you and me who had come to see that the Apostle Paul has a separate and distinct message from that that Christ gave to the 12 apostles. You can study it all the way back there. So someone down the line, all the way back to that verse right there, was faithful to see these things. They've never been the majority. They've never been the biggest group. They've never been the most popular. And that's not how you decide what you're going to believe and teach, right? But because someone was faithful to pass it on to someone else, to someone else, to someone else, and so on down the line. That's how you and I got it today. We weren't, like Laura and I, for example, we were not raised in the grace message. Let me ask you this way. How many of you here today were not raised in the grace message? I mean, wow, that's like 90%. Isn't that fascinating? Think about that. So how then did you come to the grace message?
A miracle,
he says. How did you come to the grace message? Someone told you. You wonder how they came to the grace message. Someone told them. Someone told them. And you think, what, two or three generations, four or five, they didn't have social media. They didn't have text messages. They didn't have email, that type of thing. Isn't that fascinating? So someone was faithful to pass it on. So what we want to do is we want to faithfully convey this information to the next generation. Where is Alfonso? I'm going to put him on the spot now. Where'd he go? He's right there. Yeah, I'll put him on the spot. Okay. You've seen Alfonso several times. He'll bring family members. He's got a big extended family, you know, half of Southern California, I think. But, I mean, he'll bring... And the nephew you brought a few weeks ago, what was his name? Yeah, he's brought so many. And I asked him, I said, how do you enjoy? He said he really enjoyed the message, enjoyed the fellowship and everything. And I was telling Alfonso, listen, you're the one that's going to reach your generation. And then through you can reach that next generation. The girls, or the young girls and everything. You ladies can reach your generation and so forth. And then you can reach the next ones and so forth. What a tremendous opportunity that is. You know, when they see the impact that the grace message, what it means to you. Again, not everyone's going to be interested. Don't worry about that. But when they see the difference it makes in your life, they're going to say, wow, that person was able to get through some crisis in life. Something is working in their heart that's making a difference for them. And so that's a huge thing that we as a ministry want to keep in mind going forward. We want to be more effective at making sure that we pass on this message to the next generation, the next, and that type of thing. Listen, when the elders of this ministry all die, do you want this ministry to die? Of course not. You say, and by the way, we're not planning on dying anytime soon, at least not that I know of, all right? But the fact is, we want to do whatever we can to pass this message on to the next generation. Let me ask you it a different way. Has this message made a difference in your personal life? We say personally. Has it made a difference to you? Okay? Everyone here says yes. Well, in what way? The truth? Good. What else? Peace is a big one. Isn't it fascinating? Okay. Grace. Good. What then?
Stabilizes.
Isn't that fascinating? Paul says, let your moderation be known to me. Jim, go ahead.
Lose that fear that you're not doing enough.
Lose the fear that you're not doing enough. Finding rest in Christ. Excellent. I'm going to ask Lori to come up here and share an email with you. That's some details. You notice again that Karen is not able to be with us here this morning. Karen's her sister. Karen is going through some severe, over-the-top health issues right now. And some of you right here today are going through some pretty serious health issues. You're physically here this morning and you're in pain right now. You're suffering right now. I thank you for being here. And Karen would be here if she could. She can't. She's in quarantine right now. From her own family can't even be with her because of the health issues and because of the possible contagion situation that she's in. But I tell you what, and Lori, come up and read the email. You'll
you'll hear the sense of how what this has done, understanding this message, what this has done for her personally, and see how it is the difference it's made in her life. Could just kind of hold that so we can make sure and hear what you're reading.
In case you don't know, my sister Karen has multiple sclerosis, and she's had a very stressful year this year. Her husband had 3 surgeries just recently, and he has a hard collar on right now from his last surgery on his spine. Anyway, she contracted shingles, and normally when somebody gets shingles, it's on one band of nerves. Because she has such a low immune system, it's on all 5 bands of nerves. She has it in her ears, in her eyes, she has it on her head, front, back, everywhere. It started with like flu symptoms and then blisters, and she now has meningitis. She has Ramsay-Hunt disease. She has encephalitis. I think there's something else too. It just continues because of her immune system. So she can't be around any family members for at least 2 weeks that I know of. She has a PIC line. A nurse comes out to the home, and she has taught Elliot how to give her injections. She has to have some kind of injection. And he's even being careful not to stay in the same room and all that. She did go to the hospital, and she said they treated her so unkindly, treated her like a leper. She had to have a face mask, an eye patch, and that just broke my heart because she's the sweetest person, and for anyone to treat her mean, I just don't understand that. But in the midst of all of this, this grace message, this rightly dividing message has kept her spirits up amazingly. She says she loves all of you and she wants to send her love. She's sent me an email the last couple of days, and Garrett told me, make a list of these emails, put them in a Word file. So I did, and I asked John if it'd be okay to, they're personal to me, but she gave permission to go ahead, and he said so as well. So Friday, December 22nd, the subject is God is good, with an exclamation mark. Our God is an awesome God. He is worthy to be praised. I will rest in him. He is where my hope is. Thank you to the body of Christ. Lori, you are a valuable member. You have brought me such comfort. So has the Verstegens. I love you, my sweet sister. Thank you always for being there for me. Love in Christ, Karen. Friday, December 23rd. The subject is today. What a humiliating experience I had today. I was treated like a leper at the hospital, and not much kindness was shown to me. I was quite sad. I came home and put on some CDs of Richard Jordan. Thank God for faithful men, though flawed, who faithfully teach the word rightly divided. I have peace with God. It is well with my soul. I will choose to trust in my God. I will find my rest in him. What a blessing to hear God's word. Oh, what peace it brings. I will praise him, and I will give thanks to the Lord. He is so good. I am complete in him. I have all spiritual blessings in heaven. My precious Lord Jesus is my rock, and this is where I stand. In Christ, Karen. And Saturday, December 24th, the subject was Romans 5, 1-5. Dear Lori, oh, what blessings, exclamation mark. Oh, what mercies when our precious Lord shines the light of his word in our hearts, exclamation mark. As I lie here in bed, God's word came to mind, knowing that tribulation worketh patience and experience hope. Romans 5, 1-5 never made sense to me before. But praise be to God, I am having the privilege to live this and to know this and to understand this. Wow, our God is good. Yes. Exclamation mark.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's been a struggle for you guys as well, seeing your sister go through that. But what a blessing. Right now we're going to turn to Romans 5. Go look at these verses. Go look at Romans 5 there. These are verses that you would be wonderful to memorize. If you don't have them memorized, then at least know where to find them, right? Romans chapter 5, and look at verse 1. We'll start there. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then here it is, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. It's not going to let you down. The idea of maketh not ashamed, you're not going to be let down by hope that the Bible produces. Hope maketh not ashamed because, here's why, it will not let you down. Because the love of God, what's that? That's the cross. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Lori and I spoke, we called Karen yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, late afternoon, had a really good visit with her on the phone, but she had conveyed the same type of thing that when she was at the hospital, that they just, and you got to wonder, why would you treat a patient so bad like that? So it's just really odd. And you don't know, maybe they're afraid that they're going to catch it, but still. And she was saying that there's the possibility she could go blind and deaf, depending on how this whole thing progresses and depending on how they're able to deal with it from a medical standpoint. But she said that when she came home from the hospital, that she obviously was very discouraged, as anyone would be, very, very discouraged. But she got into the Word. She got into the Word rightly divided. She got into the grace message. And she began to think about that verse. And as you could see from her email, that it really came to life for her. And that's what the Word of God does when we believe it. Let me ask you a question. Have you personally found the grace message to make a difference in your life? You personally. Just, what do you think? Yes? Absolutely. We asked her, or actually she might have just brought this up, that had it not been for understanding the grace, we talked to her about this, had it not been for understanding the grace message, what would her thinking have been?
God's trying to teach her something, punish
her. Yeah. Say it loud again, please.
God might be teaching her something or punishing her.
Yes. That was God possibly punishing her, trying to get their attention after all the family's been through. So many of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Christian community out there, they are under that system of belief and teaching that implies, that says, that when tribulations come in your life, it's because either God's chastening you, or He's trying to get your attention, or you won't pay attention, or for some past sins, that type of thing. But that's all putting you back under Israel's program. You're not Israel, and you're not under the law. If you're taught that, then when difficulties come, it's no wonder that your thinking is that. What did I do? What's God trying to punish me for? What am I not confessing? Go ahead, Berta.
But even then, under the law, they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
They knew why they were being.
They absolutely could have and should have.
Imagine,
yes.
Imagine somebody like, what have I done? What,
yes.
What happened to my kids?
Yes. Yes. Let's.
And also, if you're not healed, then I don't have enough faith.
Yes, that's a big one. If you're not healed, then you don't have enough faith. How often people want to study in the book of James, if you just go back over to the James real quick, James chapter number 5, people want to appeal over here to James. Look at James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14. It says this, Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Well, now you know who they are, by the way, right? Okay. It says, Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a very common verse that people appeal to in Christianity when it comes to someone who is sick. And you could, if you don't understand the Word of God right about it, you absolutely could understand why someone would want to go to a verse like this. If you're sick, especially if it's pretty serious, it is no fun. Like some of you, they've been through some pretty intense sicknesses. And you know it just wears you down. It wears you out emotionally, physically, mentally. It just beats you up. And so you can understand why someone would appeal to a verse like this. And it's in the New Testament, exactly here. And so how do you explain it when someone appeals to this verse, the elders come, they bring the anointing oil, and the healing doesn't occur? What do you say to something like that? What do you think they're typically told? Didn't have enough faith is a big one. They didn't give enough. It was God's will to not have them healed, you know. It's interesting that in the verse, you do see at verse 15, it says in the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So you do see that faith is a prerequisite for what's going on in the verse. But these other things that people say, well, you didn't give enough money, or it was the will of God to not be healed, that's not in the verse here. So you're still left with the question, well, why didn't the verse work in my particular case? So in the case of my love and that type of thing. Well, what's the answer? What's that? Yeah, the answer actually is over in the very first verse of this book. It's in the very first verse of the book. Look at that verse. It says, James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then who does he say he's writing to? She says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That's not you today. You know that. The church, the body of Christ, which is what God's forming today, is not the 12 tribes scattered abroad. The church, the body of Christ, you are not spiritual Jews, you're not spiritual Israel. But because we've been taught all that, then people will read that verse, but they completely discount what the verse says. It's interesting, they want to discount verse 1, but they want to count chapter 5, right? That one about the healing. So you understand that regardless of what chapter 5 is saying, it just isn't saying it to you and me in the dispensation of grace. That verse will be operational during the tribulation period. Israel will need that, and they will get it. But it's just not what's going on now in the dispensation of grace. Rather, if you'll look over to 2 Corinthians, look over to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4 here. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Here's what we can count on in the dispensation of grace. Here's what you can count on in the dispensation of grace. By the way, do get oil. Put it in your car or your motorcycle. Okay? All right. Or if you get skin oil, you can rub oil on your skin or whatever. That's fine too. Or they talk about the good oil, the good fats that you consume, that kind of thing. But not because of James chapter number 5. Here's what you can count on for sure. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, what? Okay, so what can you count on for sure? That the outer man is perishing, okay? He says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed. Day by day. So you have an outward man and an inward man. And the focus of God's activity, is God's activity focusing on the outward man today or the inward man? On the inward man. So he says, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I can tell you this, and those of you who have suffered affliction, you know that at the time that you're going through that affliction, it doesn't feel very light. I can tell you, this doesn't feel very light to Karen right now. And neither did it feel to Paul when he was going through his afflictions. And at the time you're going through them, they didn't seem like they were lasting a moment. Time seems to slow way down when you're sick. When it's the daytime, you can't wait to go back to bed so you can get some sleep and maybe your body can recover. When it's nighttime and you're sick and tossing and turning all night, you can't wait for a daytime. So you can be up and move around. Time just seems to slow down when you're sick and hurting and ailing. Right? You found that to be so? That verse says it's just for a moment. So how can it say that? How can it say that the affliction is light and the time is for a moment? How come? What's that, Billy? It's in comparison to something. Look at how he says it here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we can count on. What we can absolutely count on is as the Lord tarries, if he tarries, that these bodies are going to continue to go the way of the world. And that is, it's a slow decaying process. It's not evolution. It's the exact opposite. It's a slow decaying process. And in that slow decaying process, the body begins to break down, some more quickly than others. But as that happens, the Word of God is what works in the inner man. The inner man doesn't go through a slow decaying process. The inner man goes through the building up process. And it's the inner man that you are going to take into eternity. And then when you get into eternity, by the way, in that same instant you get there, well, when the rapture happens, you're also going to get a glorified, resurrected body that will never deteriorate. And he says at verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? What does that mean? They're temporary, right? How many of you, do you realize it's Christmas 2016? Wasn't it just January? Didn't we just have our February conference? It just seemed like not too many months ago. Wasn't summer just here? How many of y'all did something exciting for summer? Only one? Come on. What? Come on, the rest of you need to get a life here, right? Come on. I mean, summer was just here a couple of months ago, and now it's Christmas of 2016. This year's almost over. Listen, it is temporal. It passes oh so fast, you know. Our granddaughter, she's a little over 3 years old now. Can you believe that? And little Silas is on the way in February. We were over there last night, 7 weeks out, about 7 weeks. And, you know, it's going to be here so fast. You know, we're asking Anne-Marie, how you doing? And, you know, she's like this. And, well, I think I'm ready for him to come out now. I'm ready to meet this little guy, you know. She said at night, especially, he's very active, moving in this. He's going to be an active baby, you know, just like Josh, you know, and the other boys and everything. So, listen, it's temporal. It passes so fast. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Whatever we do in life, whatever career we pursue, whatever hobbies we pursue, whatever activities we do, always remember, keep in your mind, the forefront of your thinking, that you're living for eternity. Keep eternity in view, whatever you're doing. Let that be the overriding, governing view of whatever you do. Your schooling, your education, your career, your family, your hobbies, whatever it is, in the back of your mind, keep that there. Wow, we're heading into eternity at some point to participate in and to share and to be a part of the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a bright, bright future. So the purpose this morning was to kind of give everyone a little bit of an update of where we want to take the ministry, where we want to see the ministry going. We sent an email out several months ago about possibly starting summer camp again. And we didn't get too much of feedback on that, so we think, well, that didn't go over so good. All right. So what we will do is we'll probably send it out again, but something else we talked about was to, instead of having a family type youth summer camp, maybe have a youth camp, a youth group camp type of thing. And so we definitely want to do one of those two things this coming summer in 2017. And so we'll get some details together about that. I know John and Berta have spent a lot of time at Palomar Mountain Conference Center. That might be a great place to have a youth camp up there, youth activity. So that's something we definitely want to do this coming year. And so it would be a great opportunity to invite some kids to that as well. Okay. Is anybody here? Go ahead, Chloe.
I didn't know Karen spoke soon.
Okay.
People wanted to send her a card or a letter of encouragement or scripture verses. She's in our director. Her last name is Hoffman. You can get her address there.
Great idea. In fact, I know she would really appreciate that. We should maybe even get a card going around for her. But if you want to send her an email or text message or phone, I'm sure she would very much be encouraged by that. Okay, thanks for bringing that up. Anybody have any questions just about ministry in general, about where we're going, about some ideas for the future, any thoughts? How was the food?
Good.
There's still a bunch left, right? Any questions, any thoughts or anything? Okay, well, we'll have a word of prayer. We'll take a break here, grab some more food, and we'll start the next service here in about 10 minutes or so. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that we can spend some time this morning together as a family of believers, just talking about the family, just talking about going forward as a family and laboring together with you in the gospel of your grace. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, take a break.